قاري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وأجل
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We are getting to close to the end of this discussion that we started in the month of Ramadan about the concept of taqwa in the light of the verse of Holy Quran, in the light of the Quran and the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. In the previous lesson, I talked about the fact that there is a directly proportional relationship between taqwa and amalun salih, just like there is a directly proportional relationship between ilm and amal. The more we increase in our taqwa, the more we will get the tawfiq to do the amalun salih, and the more amalun salih we perform, we will get further tawfiq from Allah to achieve the higher level of taqwa, and so on. Likewise, in the case of ilm and amal, knowledge and actions, the more knowledge we attain, the knowledge will demand itself from us to act upon it. If we don't, it doesn't stay in the soul, the nur departs. If we act upon the knowledge, the nur stays in the soul. And when we act upon the knowledge, this action will generate tawfiq from Allah for us to receive the further high level of knowledge. And then that further high level of knowledge will stay in the soul only on the condition that we act upon it. And when we act upon it, again that action will again generate further tawfiq from Allah to achieve further high level of knowledge. And that's the way it goes. For everyone who has achieved higher levels of knowledge, they have achieved through these means. And not just that, but if you remember, just to connect with the last segment of the lesson, I told you the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he said, "Man amila bima ya'lam, allamahu Allah ma lam ya'lam." Whoever acts on what he knows, Allah teaches him what he does not know. So Allah teaches. That's another very significant point to remember, because if you turn to the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Now, those of you who are familiar with the Arabic grammar, I don't want to go into the details to confuse you, but a little ishara and indication towards that. If any one of you is familiar, he would understand that when we use the Sighatul Amr in Arabic, the jaza of Sighatul Amr is majzoom always. And here in this ayat of Holy Quran, we don't find any word at all which is majzoom. So the jaza of doing taqwa is not mentioned in the Quran, in the verse of Quran, because no word in the verse is majzoom. Nothing can serve as the jaza of the Siratul Amr, the tense of command. There is no word which is majzoom. So that's why our Mufassireen say the real reward of taqwa is hidden. And Domari knows that. What is the real reward of taqwa? One of the lists of benefits is what is mentioned in the ayat of Quran, where Allah says, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ, without the jazm. يُعَلِّم doesn't have the jazm over it. It's يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Isn't that right? So this is not the jaza of the Sifat al-Amr. If it was jaza, it would have been majzoom. So Allah teaching us is one of the benefits that we get out of taqwa, but that's not the real jaza. The real jaza is unknown to us because that's not mentioned in the ayat. So, and then I told you at the end that la'allah in Arabic is used for expressing our hopefulness towards something, where in the case of Allah, it simply doesn't work because He is never hopeful, because we are hopeful about something when we don't know the future. Isn't it right? For Allah, the past and the present and the future are all the same. He is beyond the past and beyond the present and beyond the future tenses. He is the creator of all times. Isn't it right? So it doesn't work for Him to translate the word la'allah in the term, in the meaning of hopefulness. So here my teacher was saying that la'allah, la'allakum tattaqoon. We learn in the light of this verse that it is muqaddima. That means fasting serves as a muqaddima and prelude, thank you, towards seeking taqwa. That's exactly how we translate the word la'allah about Allah in the Holy Quran, that one thing is zamina sazi, serving as paving the way and serving as a forward and muqaddima for the next thing. Asar, there are several asar and impacts of taqwa. If you turn to the Holy Quran, some of our mufassireen have gathered 24 asar and impacts of taqwa in the light of Quran and the hadith of the Prophet. 24 asar. And I don't know how many we can cover in these nights, but I will start mentioning a few of those in a very summarized way. First asar of taqwa is because of taqwa, we will be able to benefit from Allah's guidance. So getting the benefit of guidance, getting guided, al-ihtida bi hidayatillah, that means getting guided out of the guidance from Allah. The guidance of Allah is always there for even the non-believers. He is guiding everyone. But not everybody is getting the guidance, isn't that right? Despite the fact that He has already provided it, sending 124,000 prophets. What else is guidance? Providing aqal and fitrat, isn't that right? And conscience, bamir, from the inside. Hujajun batina, and the hujajun vahira, which is the prophets and the messengers and the imams and the books. So the guidance is always there, is there already for everyone. But not everyone is getting muhtadi. Not everyone is receiving and receptive of the guidance. In order for a person to be receptive towards the divine guidance, what serves as the cause for you to be recipient of the divine guidance is your taqwa. If you have taqwa, then you are the eligible recipient. If you don't have taqwa, the guidance of God will still be around. You can benefit nothing out of it. Not just Allah is not ready to benefit you, but we are not eligible to get the benefit from the available benefit. That's the way it is. So look at the Holy Quran. Let's go back to Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 2. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Isn't that right? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. That book. Well, it's not that book, it's this book. Our scholars say why Allah uses the word that book, ذَلِكَ, instead of saying hadhal kitabu la rayba fi, this book, there is no doubt in it. The book is here, and even if I have it in my own hand, it's so close to me, isn't it right? Allah didn't say hadhal kitab. Allah said dhalikal kitab, that book. That's what my teacher was saying, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, in his tafsir, that ihtimalan, what the reason why Allah is using the word Dalika, that book, is because a reader who is interacting with Quran, no matter how high you can become in your spirituality, you will continue to find yourself far away from the real azamat and greatness of the Holy Quran. And when you realize your distance from the greatness of the Quran, you will be forced to say Zalika, that book. No matter how you are, the real azamat of Quran is way up high from your excess. Read. So Zalika expresses that. La rayba fih, there is no doubt in it. Hudal lil muttaqeen, it's a guidance, in other words, for the muttaqeen, the pious people. Guidance, like I said, is always there, but only the pious will at the end of the day, you know, end up benefiting from the available guidance. Wa innahu, another verse from Surah Al-Haqqa, verse 48, it says, Wa innahu la tazkiratul lil muttaqeen. And this is a reminder for the pious, in other words. And also in Surah Ali Imran 138, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَمَوْعِذَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a bayan, an explanation for the people, and a guidance, and maw'idha, nasihat, advice for the pious. So the benefit, the first benefit that we get because of taqwa, is that we will be eligible to become a successful recipient of the guidance available from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa helps us to become eligible of the guidance. Every book that Allah sent was actually as a mu'adha and nasihat and advice for the muttaqeen, not only Quran. This purpose is common. The purpose of taqwa is common with all the books of God. You know, let's go back to Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 48, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about the Tawrat, the Old Testament that Allah gave to, you know, Prophet Moses. Look at what Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَىٰ. Certainly we have given Musa wa Haruna and Harun al-Furqan. So, وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Furqan is something that distinguishes haq from batil. Diya means light, and zikran means a reminder for the muttaqeen, in other words. That's how they get the nasihat and reminder. So what was given to Prophet Musa was also a reminder for muttaqeen. Not for everyone else. Everyone else don't bother about what Allah says. Then right, only the muttaqeen care about that. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because see, the Ahlul Taqwa are the only ones who will be able to protect their iman. Only the Ahlul Taqwa will be able to protect their iman and will perform the amal and salih. So the basharat, the glad tidings, the good news are in Quran, are also specific for the Ahlul Taqwa. So you don't find the good news given to non-pious people in Quran. The glad tidings and basharat in Quran is only announced for the muttaqeen. So in Surah Maryam, verse 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ, so that you can give basharat, glad tidings, to the muttaqeen. Although the Quran, like I said, was sent down as a guidance for all the humanity, because in Surah Al-Baqarah, in verse 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ. So it's a guidance for the entire humanity, but what we learn by combining the verses together is that despite the fact Quran is a guidance for the entire humanity, at the end of the day, only the muttaqeen and pious will be able to benefit from that available guidance, and then they are the ones who deserve the basharat from Allah because they are muttaqeen. So every good news is for muttaqeen only. That's the benefit number one. Benefit number two of taqwa, or impact number two for of muttaqeen due to their taqwa, is ma'iyyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always accompanies the muttaqeen. He is with the muttaqeen. So the ayat of Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah verse 194 says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Have taqwa of Allah and learn that Allah is with the muttaqeen. So Allah is at the side of the muttaqeen. Obviously, at whatever side Allah is, that's the winning team. Isn't it right? If we want to be successful, we want to be at the side of Allah. And Allah belongs to which of the two sides? If one side belongs to non-muttaqi and the other side belongs to the muttaqi ones, Allah is along with the one who is muttaqi. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Also in Surah An-Nahl, verse 128, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Actually, that was the verse that Imam Ali alayhi salam was reading in the final moments of his life before shahadat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ رِفْقًا رِفْقًا مَلَائِكَةَ رَبِّي. Angels were standing down, coming down in front of him, you know, paying their respects to Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he said to them, he said, Rifqan, Rifqan, addressing the angels, you know, meaning softly or slowly. So this is one of the last statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he recited this ayat of Quran, in Allah ma'al ladina taqaw. Certainly Allah is along with those who have taqwa. Wal-ladina hum muhsinun, and they the ones who and the ones who do the good deeds. So, but ma'iyyat of Allah is obviously the special ma'iyyat that we are talking about is for the muttaqi people only. But the general ma'iyyat of Allah is with everyone. That's not what we are talking about. The general category of ma'iyyat, Allah being with everyone. No one is, no place is void from Allah. Isn't that right? No place is empty from Allah. And He's not restricted to any place. He is with everyone and everywhere. So we are not talking about that kind of general ma'iyyat of Allah, which in Islamic tafsir, we call it ma'iyyatun qayyumiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not talking about the ma'iyyatun qayyumiyya. The ma'iyyatun qayyumiyya of Allah is all inclusive, no exceptions. Nothing can survive actually if Allah is not there. Nothing can survive. So basically, Qayyum in Islamic, in Ilmul Kalam, we define the word Qayyum as that Al Qa'im bi nafsihi wal Muqeem li ghayrihi. Somebody who is Qa'im and standing up straight on its own, independently, without no help from nobody. Allah is like this. He is Qa'im. He is there on his own, independently, without any help from anyone. وَالْمُقِيمُ لِغَيْرِهِ. And he establishes everyone and everything else other than him is established due to him. So this attribute of Allah, that he stands independently and everyone and everything survives and is established due to him. This meaning is called the قِوَام. And the qayyumiyyat of Allah. So this kind of ma'iyyat of ma'iyyatul qayyumiyyah is available for all the things. We are not talking about that one. Let's be clear. So the ayat of Quran in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 4, Allah says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And He is with you wherever you may be. This is the ma'iyyatul qayyumiyyah that Allah is talking about in this verse of Surah Al-Hadid. We are not talking about that one when we discuss the muttaqin. We are talking about the special ma'iyyat of Allah, which is different than the general ma'iyyat. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. And Allah knows what you do, in other words. The third impact of taqwa is mahbubiyyat of Allah. A person becomes beloved. This is the third impact. If we have taqwa, this is what we get at the end. We become mahbub and beloved. Well, becoming beloved is a great deal. It's a great deal, you know. Love, as you know, is the asas and foundation of Islam. The whole religion of Islam is founded on the asas. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ asas. The hadith says, وَأَسَاسُ الْإِسْلَامِ حُبُّنَا أَحْلَى الْبَيْتِ. So everything is a foundation, and the foundation of Islam is love of us, Ahlul Bayt. So love of Ahlul Bayt, which is equal in its value to love of Allah, because they were in the stage of fana fillah, this, you know, diminishing their personality for the sake of Allah. They didn't stand for themselves at all. Prophet and Ahlul Bayt stood for Allah. So their love is Allah's love. Allah's love is their love. It has an equal value, exactly, precisely equal. Anybody who loves Imam Hussein alayhi salam is loving Allah. Anybody who is loving Allah is loving Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Has to love Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If you don't end up loving Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did not understand. You have no ma'rifat of Allah. Isn't that right? So there is an equal value between the love of the mahbub personalities and awliya Allah, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Now obviously, Allah has said in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 4, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Certainly Allah loves the pious. So muttaqeen are the beloved servants of Allah. A person becomes muttaqi, apart from that, a person becomes muttaqi because of his tab'iyyat, that means complete obedience towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the shari'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam, because Quran says that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah is commanding His Prophet to tell it that if you love Allah, follow me. So Allah is not ready to accept the claim of the people that, hey, we love Allah. We don't need anybody else other than Allah. And some people end up saying, no, Mawlana, just talk to me from the Quran. Isn't it right? Just talk to me about what the Prophet has said. Just talk to me. And some people even went one step farther. They wanted to ignore Ahlul Bayt to protect their government and the illegitimacy of their government. Some people went one step farther and they said, don't even talk to me about Rasulullah. We don't believe in none of those books. We just believe in Allah. And there are some Muslims like that available today, unfortunately. So, which is such a nonsensical idea, contradictory to the clear verse of Quran, where Allah has said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ, then follow me. So Prophet, following the Prophet is the only way to become beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other way. There was any other way that we can be beloved of Allah by turning our backs to the Prophet, by ignoring this following, then we would have been told about that way as well by Allah. So the only way to get beloved is obedience towards the Prophet, and that is obviously personified by the concept of taqwa. The fourth benefit of taqwa is aqibatul umur, aqibatun hasana, good end result. Good end result is the sign of success and falls. If a person is counted to be faiz and successful in Islam, is counted because of the aqibatul umur, not because of the beginning of his life, or the middle part of his life, or close to the end part of his life. No, the end part of his life. Period. That was the criteria of my success. Not in which family I was born. Salman Farsi was never born to a Shia family. Loving Imam Ali alayhi salam, isn't it right? He was born to a kafir family. His parents were not mu'mins. But he reached to Salman minna ahlul bayt. Alima Salman al-ilm al-awwala wal-ilm al-akhira wa huwa minna ahlul bayt. Salman has learned the beginning knowledge and the end knowledge, and he's one of us ahlul bayt. He knows the zahir and the batin. He was born to kafir parents. His parents were kafir. So it doesn't matter in Islam. And we are not supposed to be feeling proud, iftikhar and fakhr, that we are born to such and such. That's not the sign of your success. The sign of success is aqibatul umur. End of your affairs. End of your life is in what status? That's where we need to focus. Aqibatul hasana, a good end, is the sign of, in Surah Al-A'raf, 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. So, also in Surah Taha, wal aqibatu lit taqwa. Aqibat belongs to taqwa. And in Surah Zukhruf, verse 35, Allah says, wal akhiratu inda rabbika. And akhirat in the eyes of your Lord is for the muttaqeen. So the end result in the eyes of Allah belongs to those who have taqwa. That's it. So in order for us to secure our end result at the time of passing away from this dunya, which is the criteria for our judgment of our success or failure in the life, not the beginning or middle stages of the life, and that is secured by taqwa only. In some of the ayat of Quran, the end, good end, is mentioned in a different different expression, and that is in Surah Maryam, verse 72, that إِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَظَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. So we learn in light of this verse that everyone is going to pass in minkum illa waridu. Everybody is going to have wurud into the hellfire. Everybody enters, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to summa nunajji. Then we will save alladhina taqaw, those who did taqwa. So everyone is passing through the hellfire. Well, like I already told you in one of my previous speeches, the bridge of Sirat, which is crossing either over the hellfire or from through the hellfire, the two various statements of the Mufassirin, whatever is accepted, but everybody, bottom line, is going to encounter the hellfire. Either through it or over it, we will encounter. Isn't it right? So when everybody will encounter the hellfire, who is going to be saved at the end? The ayat says in Surah Maryam, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we are going to protect, we are going to save, not protect, we are going to save those who had taqwa. وَنَظَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِسِيَّةً. And we are going to leave alone, leave the zalimeen while they are kneeling down onto the hell. In other words, zalimeen will be thrown into the hell while in the position of them kneeling down. That's how they will be thrown into the hell. So basically, good aqibat is mentioned in the form of saving us from the hellfire. We're also in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنَجِّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا بِمَفَازَتِهِمْ لَا يَمَسُّهُمُ السُّوءُ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So no evil, in other words, can touch them, and they won't be sorrowful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect muttaqeen people. So muttaqi people are the ones who are successful. They will be protected, and no evil can touch them, and they won't be in sorrow. So also in another verse from Surah Az-Zumar, verse 73, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا futihat abwabaha, abwabuha. Waqala lahum khazanatuha, salamun alaykum tibtum, fadkuluha khalidin. So we learn in the light of this verse that the muttaqi people are will be driven towards towards the paradise in the form of groups, and until the time they would reach the doors, they will reach the paradise, the doors of paradise will be opened for them, and the guardians of the paradise will say to them, Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you. And you know, this is stay enter into the paradise for eternity, forever, staying there forever, in other words. So up till now we already learned that also let me mention another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ad-Dukhan, verse 51, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Innal muttaqina fi maqamin amin, that the pious people are in the secure place. That's what we learn in the light of the verse. They are in a secure place of aman, secure place. Fi jannatin wa uyun, in gardens and fountains. Yalbisuna min sundasin wa istabraqin mutaqabilin, they will be wearing from the silk, the fine silk and brocade, the fine and the thick silk, facing, sitting while facing one another. So again, here we also learn that the good ending is for the muttaqeen. And also in Surah An-Nahl, verse 30 and 31, وَلَا نِعْمَ دَارُ الْمُتَّقِينَ, what nice, what good a house for the muttaqeen, in other words. Jannatu adnin yadkulunaha tajri min tahtiha anharu lahum fiha ma yashaun kadhalika yajzi Allahu almuttaqin. So again, the gardens of eternity are for them, they would enter them, and fountains are running under it, and they will have in it what they wish. So anything and everything what the people of paradise will wish, they would get, in other words. They have what they wish. Kadhalika, that's how Allah rewards the muttaqeen. So again, the good ending belongs to the muttaqeen. And finally, in some of the ayat of Quran, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rahman, has been mentioned as another expression of the good end result of the muttaqi, because they will be the one who will end up seeing Allah and the Rahman. So let's go to the verse 85 and 86 from Surah Maryam. Yawma nahshurul muttaqina ila rahmani wafda. So in the tafsir of our scholars say that obviously the ayat is talking about the fact on the day when we are going to resurrect the muttaqeen towards the Rahman, so in the form of waft. So muttaqeen will be able to witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see Allah. Obviously we don't see Allah with the physical eyes, it's already known. It's about the haqa'iq of iman and the realities of our faith that we witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, the muttaqeen are the only people who will be eligible to see Allah, who is Rahman, and that is the aqibat and end, good end result of being muttaqi. Obviously, it requires, like I said, the basic level of abstaining from the haram and doing the wajibs. Abstaining from not only protecting ourselves, but protecting ourselves from harming others. We need to protect our spirituality from harming ourselves, doing zulm and oppression against us, through the harams. Haram, every haram is a zulm on the nafs. And also protect ourselves from harming the community, the people around us. That's the bigger sin. If a person, cannot protect himself from harming the people. If you remember the story of Samura ibn Jundab, Samura ibn Jundab was a person who used to own a tree. Isn't that right? A palm tree. In the house of another Ansari, another person from the helpers of Medina. Not the Muhajireen of Makkah, the Ansar of Medina. So an Ansari person's house, inside an Ansari person's backyard, Samura ibn Jundab used to own a palm tree. And what he used to do is that he used to enter into the house without knocking the door. This is not allowed in Islam. Who gave you the license to enter into somebody's private property, for whatever reason, enter into somebody's property without knocking the door? Even Islam has adab, isn't it? Our Islamic adab teaches when you stand at the door of somebody, stand on the side. Like your shoulder is towards the door. Your face is on the other side. This is what Islam teaches us. When you go to the door of some mu'min, stand sideways. Your face is not facing towards the door. So if they end up opening the door all of a sudden, you don't see what you are not supposed to see. These are part of the adab of Islam. So we stand sideways towards the door. So we have our own value system that we are proud of. So this guy used to enter into the Ansari's house without knocking the door. And obviously his wife was there, sitting in her house without hijab, naturally. And she complained to her husband. Her husband came to Rasulullah. Prophet cannot ignore. Isn't it right? He's masoom. He doesn't care about what the people say. He cares about what Allah says. He doesn't want to keep his personal ties with the people. Isn't it right? That's my people don't advise others because they want to keep their personal relations with the people. Isn't it right? The Prophet, asking of the Prophet, this Samura ibn Jundab was called, and Prophet first said to him, which I am paraphrasing this long narration in my own words, that this Ansari man is saying that you are entering into his house without seeking permission. And he replied very, disrespectfully to the Prophet. Now, what kind of permission are you talking about? It's my own tree. You need permission? I need permission to see my own tree? What kind of permission? That's how he responded to Rasulullah. What permission? Permission to visit my own tree? Look at the disrespectful tone. So Prophet offered him a price. I'm going to pay you this much money. So basically you give up your tree, I'm going to pay you the price of the tree. This much amount. He refused. Prophet raised the amount. He again refused. Prophet then offered him another tree. I own a tree on such and such place. You take that tree of mine and just leave this tree alone. He refused. Prophet offered two trees to him on such and such place, whatever place. He refused. Prophet increased. He offered 10 trees to him. He refused. Prophet at the end said, I'm going to give you 10 trees in another garden. He still refused. Prophet said, I'm going to guarantee a tree for you in the paradise. That was a really great deal if he realized. If this jahil, ignorant person had some sense there, he would have understood what a big deal it was. Give a tree inside the paradise, so you have access into the paradise, isn't it right? What a great deal. And he refused. And when he refused, Prophet, after all those list of offers that he said, and he already refused to take permission to enter, which is not allowed in Islam, that's haram. So Prophet has no haya in telling the hukm of Allah. Isn't it right? Prophet commanded that Ansari guy that take the tree out of the root and throw it in front of him. They're going to take it out and throw it in front of him. Put it in front of him. That's how he did. The Ansari guy, he went to his backyard, he took the whole tree out of its roots and threw the tree in front of him. Prophet said, go and take your tree and sow it wherever you want. إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ مُضَارٌ وَلَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. And this hadith of Rasulullah, you are a harm-inflicting person. And there is no room in Islam for harming or inflicting harm on the people. And this hadith of Rasulullah is now considered to be one of the 400 plus qawaidun fiqhiyya, the rules of Islamic jurisprudence that we elaborately study in the hawza, in every hawza, we study the qawaid al fiqhiyya. And this hadith is itself a qa'idatun fiqhiyya, an Islamic principle of Islamic jurisprudence, and so many things are derived out of this one hadith. So in Islam, there is no room, coming back to the point that I was mentioning, in Islam there is no room for a person to harm anyone else, the people. You know, if a person inflicts harm on others, he has to be stopped. Islam is a religion where we respect. We respect our own spirituality and we respect the people around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. Waqtul al-Kuffar wa al-Munafiqeen. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله.